Nobody likes inflation, but when inflation is low, the cost of living adjustments, or COLAs, for federal retirees are small, too. At this near midpoint in the fiscal year, it looks like COLAs are going to be pretty skimpy once again. Now, lots of people are sounding off about it at federalnewsradio.com. Our web manager, Julia Ziegler, joined me with some of your comments.
What we're talking about here are cost of living adjustments. That's the raise, if you will, for federal retirees. And the COLA is all about inflation, right? It's calculated by comparing consumer prices in July, August, and September over the year before. So right now, for example, if the COLA were calculated right now, retirees would be in line for no COLA whatsoever in 2016. Well, that is not the case, as we have half of the fiscal year to go. But when we get to July, August, and September of this year, they will compare the numbers over last year. And if it is in fact higher, if prices have gone up, then federal retirees will be in line for a little bit of a raise.
Probably the biggest factor recently is the huge drop in oil prices.
That's right. It is definitely something that is playing a part here. What we should remind people, though, is the good thing is that if there is deflation, that does not mean that retirees' benefits go down. So they can't get anything lower than what they are receiving now. They can only go up or they can stay flat. And it's too early to tell if there will be a COLA in 2016. But about this time is when we really start to pay attention to it to see kind of where prices are at halfway through the year, and then we go from there.
Do we know what's in the market basket for what they check?
I don't know that off of the top of my head, but I'll have to check for you.
If it's houses, or that's right. One thing, if it's the price of a loaf of bread, that's another thing. So
right.
It really depends on what you measure. And because it can be skewed completely by what it is that's in there.
Well, it's interesting. So how COLAs are calculated has been a big topic of discussion. As we've talked about before on your show, this is something that the president has brought up. It's something that members of Congress have brought up. And there has been talk about potentially changing the way that it's calculated. And so some people commented on this on the comment boards this week. And I wanted to read you a few of those comments. One person said, retiree COLAs should be weighted to measure the impact of increasing health care costs that have a much costlier impact on the aging retiree population. And another person said, federal employee raises should at least equal the retiree COLAs. And that's an interesting comment there, too. You always get this battle between current feds and retirees over how much they're making, right? And next year, as we know, feds are in line for probably around 1.3% raise. That's what's been proposed by the White House. Some members of Congress have proposed something like a 3.8% raise. That's more of a long shot. I don't think we think that that will actually happen. But there's some numbers out there. So if retirees would get no COLA adjustment, then they would be making less or getting less of a raise than federal employees.
There's always assumptions that are built into this. For example, retirees, your cost of living goes down automatically. Well, it may have to. Is that a cause or an effect?
I mean,
of being retired, no one would curtail what they do, necessarily want to curtail what they do.
Right. I guess it depends how you plan to live, right? Like if in retirement, are you going to slow down and do less and work around the house? Or do you plan on going on massive vacations? Well, you better have saved up if that's the
plan. It's a matter of living within your means.
That's right.
And then the other question is how COLA is determined. Remember, there was talk last year of having a more dynamic approach to it, with the assumption that when prices rise, people's behavior changes,
mm-hmm.
and they will seek less expensive alternatives to whatever it is they buy, and therefore the COLA adjustment can reflect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we had we had another comment actually on the comment boards this week about that kind of national discussion. This person said there needs to be a national discussion on how to fairly measure and set COLAs for the various populations, retirees, welfare recipients, urban workers, non-urban workers, etc. It's a recipe for endless squabbling and negotiating among the representatives of these groups, of course, but no different from any other political process. What is certain is that using a single figure for everyone is unfair, especially to those who have little ability to do anything to increase their income or decrease their essential living costs.
Yeah, that's the problem. You have less economic mobility when you're retired.
Well, right. And because this cost of living adjustment, of course, isn't just for, you know, it's not just federal retirees, it's a Social Security recipients. Everyone is under this same kind of calculation. So that's what this commenter is getting at.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler. And I think a lot of current retirees remember the days of the 70s and 80s when inflation was really serious.
Right.
When mortgages ran 13, 14, 15, 18% and gasoline was going crazy. You know, the oil, they call them the oil shocks. And so if you have that, it's like people that retired that had been in the Depression, those are mostly passing on now. They had a depression mentality shaped by that period. A lot of people now still have the 70s and 80s inflation mentality. But in fact, thanks to the Federal Reserve and a lot of other things, inflation has really been not a factor in the economy.
I think the other thing that, you know, we always hear people talk about, especially when we get into this, how should the cost of living adjustment be calculated, is, you know, you've got all these other costs that are going up as well. Healthcare costs, things like that. So if someone is only to get a, you know, 1% COLA or a no COLA, then it really isn't a raise, right? If your healthcare costs are go up 4% and you get a 1% cost of living adjustment, you're still in the hole a little bit there. And I think that's the other thing that people are, you know, why people get so frustrated when we talk about this.
All right, so what else is coming up next on federalnewsradio.com?
Well, Tom, this week is Sunshine Week, and that is, of course, when we talk about open government and all of the government's open government initiatives. We'll have a special report this week on FOIA. We're going to take kind of a look inside FOIA and what's going on there. Last week, we had some reports come out about FOIA and whether or not it's working or people are getting the FOIA requests that they want. So we're going to take a little deeper dive into that and what is the problem. Why are FOIA requests so hard to complete? Has technology actually made FOIA requests easier or harder? So something interesting to think about as well.
Yeah, because the report card from the Open Government Foundation came out last week. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty tough.
It was. Not many agencies doing well on that scorecard.
Yeah, and those were the 15 agencies that get 90% of the FOIA requests.
Correct.
Maybe the ones that just get a few are really, really good at it.
True. Yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said when you take a look at that list, and I believe it was only two, potentially three agencies that scored, you know, in the B range, you know, passing grades, you know, C range, there was a few in the middle, but then there's ones, you know, in the D range, and that's just not good. It's not good. And I don't think anyone who scored a D on that report card would be happy about it. I'm sure they might have some reasons as to why those scores aren't so high, but it doesn't mean that the scores are good.
Well, you know, they have contracting officers in government. They have CIOs in government. Mm-hmm. They have program managers. Each one of these things is a definitive discipline that you can learn and you have to practice. I think FOIA fulfillment is a discipline, an art almost, in and of itself. And I wonder if agencies give it short shrift by not having the people and training needed to really do a good job of FOIA fulfillment. And I think FOIA officers have to be independent of the political appointees, because sometimes a FOIA is a perfectly legitimate request. It may not be popular with the politicals, but yet legally it's a legitimate request. So I think it's a more complicated problem than agencies maybe sometimes give it.
Well, and it's also, I think, an issue of where, you know, there's so much data. There is so much data. And so you might make a FOIA request for something, Tom, and maybe the government doesn't have a report on that. They have the data, but now they got to figure out how to get it to you. What format does it come in? Are they violating any other privacy laws or anything like that? It really is a complicated process. And I know that, you know, I guess we should really give credit to the people whose job that is. I think it's probably more complicated than we imagine.